Welcome to Dear Watchers, a Marvel What If podcast where we do a deep dive into the long-running Marvel comic book series, What If?
Traveling through the storylines before and after that inspired or took inspiration from the week's issues. And your Uatus on this journey are me, Kido.
And me, Rob, the great and powerful.
Yeah, this is a strange episode that we're going to be pulling off here.
Yes, it is. And with that, dear watchers, let's check out what's happening over the rainbow with today's episode. And today we are going to be discussing What If Volume 1, Issue Number 100. And that is, what if the Fantastic Four went to the land of Oz?
And so this what if is actually two different Earths, Earth 97102 and Earth 97103. Because in this Earth, we have 97102, I presume, where the Fantastic Four are out in space, about to get their powers, but Sue hits her head and wakes up. In a land similar to Oz, you have a bunch of stand-in characters, the Micronauts as the Munchkins. We have Galactus being who gets killed by the spaceship landing, similar to the house landing. We have Herbie the Robot as Toto. We have Uatu, renamed UR2, as, I don't know, I guess, the Good Witch, but
as Glinda,
we'll talk, we could talk about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we have Dr. Doom as the Wicked Witch. We have Reed as the Scarecrow. We have Johnny as the Tin Man. We have Ben as the Cowardly Lion. We have Namor as Oz the Great and Powerful. All of that is in her imagination / Earth 97103. And then she returns to Earth 97102. Only to discover that indeed Johnny has flame powers and she's horrified that she might still be in this world. And we'll talk a lot more about what is going on in this issue when we get to it. This is the first time we're covering one of the handful of humor issues that What If has done, had done over the years. So this is going to be a little silly.
Yes, definitely. And I think your summary just now made a lot more sense than actually reading the issue itself.
Very briefly, recapping our backgrounds with Fantastic Four, who we're going to be talking a lot about in some upcoming episodes, I think, and we've already talked about on previous episodes. So I'm loosely familiar with the Fantastic Four. I read them on and off as a child. Haven't really read consistently until the Hickman era and up through now and Dan Slott. So I'm a little familiar with what we read today in the origin issue and somewhat familiar with the later issue. How about you, Fantastic Four, briefly?
Me as well. I had also read a smattering of past issues. I read some of the Hickman run. Of course, I knew their not so great animated series from the 90s as well as the movies, but was never a go-to Fantastic Four fan. And what about your history with The Wizard of Oz? I think you know that probably more than the Fantastic Four.
Oh, for sure. I think most people in the world know The Wizard of Oz more than they know the Fantastic Four, even Fantastic Four fans, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And this episode is well-timed. I mean, we just went to a play that's about Margaret Hamilton's life. We watched a Judy Garland documentary.
The Wicked Witch, we should say, yes. For people who don't know.
I guess I just assume everyone knows that. And that's how well I know The Wizard of Oz. So yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know the book series well. That is fine. Clearly, this is a parody of the movie, not the book series. So I know the movie as well as everyone else in the world knows the movie. And I like it. I liked it as a child, though I sometimes found it boring. I reappreciated it as an adult when my love of Judy Garland grew. And now I, you know, love it. It's a classic. How about you?
Along with Mary Poppins, it was probably the movie I watched the most as a kid. I just watched it on repeat over and over again, more than the Disney movies. It was the one movie I went to the most. And then I believe I was in third grade and we did a production of The Wizard of Oz, and I was cast as the Scarecrow, which was always my favorite character in The Wizard of Oz. So I always had a great affinity for it. Like you, I never read the books. I read one of the sequels that was written many years later, written by one of L. Frank Baum's relatives, but I never went back and read any of the original novels. And then, of course, I've followed it in other formations. Of course, the Return to Oz movie and various other forms. And then, of course, also love Judy Garland, but also all the other actors that were involved in it. Just so many great classic Hollywood stories from all of these folks.
And Marvel, as a history, they published some like movie adaptation specials in their magazine size format in the 80s of Oz. And then they did have, I guess it's the license. I don't even know if the books are in public domain, but I doubt it because I don't feel like we see a proliferation of them. So they must still be owned by an estate. I believe the books are
in the public domain, though I might be wrong. Though there are elements, I think, that were then created for the movie, that are in the public domain.
And there are a few comics now that I think of it. There's like the Royal Historian of Oz, and then there's like OzCorp. So there are a bunch of comic book adaptations. So it must be in the public domain. But back in the early 2000s, Marvel was publishing, I think, from the books, because they were like The Marvelous Land of Oz and different titles that I think must have come from the book series. So Marvel has a history with it. And this is a really crazy backup issue to, as you said, issue number 100. So let's get into our origin.
Yes, I see. I'm looking out the window. There's a twister coming. So we're getting sucked up and transported back into the past. In fact, we are being transported into 1983 with our first origin issue.
Why right now on this very show, you're going to get the answer to all your questions. Our amazing story begins a few years ago.
And that issue is Fantastic Four, volume number 1, issue number 255. And that is from June 1983. And it's entitled Trapped with an exclamation point.
It's written, penciled, and inked by John Byrne, colored by Glynis Wine, lettered by Jim Novak, edited by Al Milgrom and Ann Nesenti. We read this because there is one passing joke to Oz. So in the issue, this is the middle of an Annihilus negative zone story that crosses over with Avengers. It's the kind of story Byrne's run on Fantastic Four is most known for, and what he's, I think, most famous for in terms of Fantastic Four. However, our interest was that Reed's brain is separated from his body, and he becomes this cosmic apparition in space. And Thing says, "Holy cow, the hotshot wasn't kidding. Reed's gone and got himself done up like the Wizard of Oz." So that is the only reason we read this issue.
Yes. And he looks, we'll put the image, of course, up on our Dear Watchers Twitter, but the image of Reed does look like the super famous image of the Wizard of Oz's floating head. He's yellow here instead of green, but it definitely does bring that to mind.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a great story. It's great art. It's more of the Fantastic Four that I want to read, even though John Byrne is not a person that I want to support. This is a run that I do want to get more into, and I look forward to some reprints or omnibuses or my own collection growing so that I can dig more into it. What do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it for, you know, jumping into this one random issue. The thing I think I actually enjoyed the most is the antagonist in this issue, which starts with Annihilus, who I also really like a lot. I think he's legitimately creepy, and I really love this aspect that he is aware of every time that his body is decaying, which is all the time. So that's pretty creepy, and there's a great interaction with him and Alicia early on, and that Alicia can't see his hideous scarred face because she's blind. But then the main villain of this issue is this. He kind of reminded me a little bit of like a realistic Mr. Mind from Captain Marvel.
He does. I agree.
World. And yes. I'm looking, his name is
Taranith Gestel.
Gestalt, yeah. But he's this weird, creepy, worm-like creature, really kind of very bizarre. And his whole spaceship also, it kind of was like Event Horizon. Like, it's a kind of a mix of an actual spaceship with something more biological. I kind of wanted to see a little bit more of him. Unfortunately, he gets killed in this issue.
Yeah, and he only appears in the issue before, so you can read his complete appearances pretty
quickly. But yeah, for me, it was like what Fantastic Four does really well, which is these kind of creepy space sagas with these very odd creatures, which in some ways are even parodied a little bit in the What If issue.
Well, the fun thing too, focused on our What If here today and the Wizard of Oz, is that they're trying to get back home. So it actually works. I don't know if Byrne has a relationship to Oz, if it was apparent in his mind consciously, certainly unconsciously, it's here. Because to make an Oz joke in a story, even though the Fantastic Four, like a trope of the Fantastic Four, is of course the need to get back home. They're often trapped in space. And that can easily be mapped onto the Wizard of Oz. This one, the fact that it ends and they're taught, I mean, no one says there's no place like home. There's mm-hmm. never a moment where it reads as explicit, but the fact that the issue ends and they're like, oh no, the dimensional interface between the negative zone and our home universe has been annihilated. And so the only way we can return to Earth now is certain destruction, right? So that they're trapped, can't get home. So I think it's interesting that there is this passing reference to Oz, great and powerful, but
mm-hmm. yeah. And they even get their powers originally from this catastrophe, actually a force of nature, which is similar, you could put with the tornado and Dorothy
as that's well. A bit of a stretch now.
There's just still more tied to nature and the world than, say, Peter Parker or the Incredible Hulk or something else. I confess, it is definitely a leap, though.
All right, so that's all we read as our origin issue. Let's jump.
Yes, let's jump into Glinda's giant floating pink bubble.
Exactly, okay.
We will sail into today's What If issue.
I am your guide through these vast new realities. Follow me and ponder the question, what if?
And that is What If, volume one, issue number one.
It's volume two.
Oh, this is volume two. Okay.
It is. That's incorrect information that you're reading from.
But this is from MarvelFandom.com, which is incorrect information.
Don't trust the internet.
I guess that's true. So it's What If Volume 2, Issue 100, which it also says is a special double-sized 100th anniversary issue. And that is from September 1997. And the What If question is, what if the Fantastic Four went to the land of Oz?
However, the story is actually titled, There's No Place Like That Place Where You Sleep and Keep Your Stuff. Obviously, play on There's No Place Like Home. Mm-hmm. It's written by Robert Piotrowski, penciled by Rurik Tyler, inked by Harry Candelario, colored by Glynis Oliver, lettered by Chris Eliopoulos, and the editor is Kelly Corvisi at this point. And the only background on this, obviously being a pretty throwaway backup story to a What If, in 1997, there's not too much. Robert Piotrowski actually did very few comics that I could find. There's very little information. I saw a few Marvel issues, really possibly one Thor and one or two X-Men. And then Rurik Tyler, on the other hand, the penciler for this, he actually did a good number of Marvel. It looked like a couple dozen issues, but mainly What The, so the parody title. Mm. Which makes a lot of sense then for this. So those are the two creators working on this backup.
Did we should mention it? Too, maybe that it's the backup, because the main story is a Gambit story as well. And then there's also some fun one page also gag pages that come after this as well.
Yeah, cover parodies. So did you enjoy it?
I don't know. I enjoyed the weirdness of it, but I did not enjoy the actual jokes. Perhaps that's why Rob did not do many comics.
Yeah, well, like the invisible sneakers, right? So instead of Ruby slippers, it's Sue's making invisible sneakers. I mean, that makes no sense at all. The mapping of the characters onto the other characters is the only aspect of it I really enjoyed. I almost wish there were more of that. I wish we met more people. And I don't know, there's not even that many more characters in Wizard of Oz, but you know, I'd like to see how they deal with the flying monkeys or
yes,
stuff like that. Because it was fun.
But to that too, I don't think they're really well mapped all the time. So for example, we have Uatu as the Glinda the Good Witch character, but yes, he's
Uatu. His name is Uatu the Looker. He's the Looker, not the Watcher.
Which is even creepier, I feel like.
It's a very strange name. Uatu the Looker, yes.
He's dressed like a businessman or an agent. He's in a suit. He's got black sunglasses. There's never an element of Glinda there. He could have at least come in the giant iconic pink bubble or something.
Well, he's
like
even
that.
Holding a piece of pink cake.
Yeah.
So it feels like a lot of these, I get the feeling with What the Two, with I think the What the parody and the other What If humor issues, which we will at some point cover, they are for sure a lot of in-jokes, a lot of jokes that the writer's making about their experiences or about the people they're working with. There's a lot of jokes that I think you just can't get unless you're a part of it or know it really well. And so that could be the case here. I don't know. Either that or it's just a joke that doesn't work, because I agree. It's completely unclear why this alternate version of Uatu named Uatu would be like this slimy Hollywood agent look or whatever. But then why does he have a piece of pink cake and he has his sunglasses and he talks about the yellowish road that will take her to where she needs to go. And the signs are like real estate agent signs all along the road. So maybe he's a realtor, but then I don't know what that joke is, if that's the case. So yeah.
And Dr. Doom works a little better because he's got some green on him. He's supposed to be the Wicked Witch, but they make his helmet the Tin Man's hat. So right there, there's already a discrepancy because basically they're conflating two characters. And then as she goes along,
I think he's more a parody or the incorporation of Four Bushmen. So in the titles, you know, the guy who has the pot on his head.
Oh,
that's like,
okay.
That's the protagonist jokester of the Marvel parody world. So I got the sense that he was possibly Four Bushman or some amalgamation of
that's
Four
very
Bushman and
confusing
Dr. Doom.
Though, because the Tin Man has that same hat and here
his name. Well, it's a tea kettle, though, is that the Tin Man's hat is a tea kettle.
It's not quite a tea kettle, but it's something like that. But it does.
No, his is an oil can.
But he does toot out the steam at one point. And here, when we very first see the Dr. Doom stand-in, he is also tooting out of his hat.
Well, his name is also Dr. Va-Va-Va-Voom, the totally evil. So yes. There's a lot of like just a ton of joke, trying to throw in a ton of jokes, sight gags and line jokes that just, again, either they don't make sense to us because we don't understand them or they just don't make sense.
Yeah. And then it kind of continues on when she meets the other members of the Fantastic Four, who, as you mentioned in your summary, are standing in for the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, okay, so we should say, so Reed can't form himself. So he's just this elastic mess of a globulous puddle of a person.
Yes.
And then Johnny will spontaneously combust anytime anyone mentions fire. And then the thing I will say is a little funny because he has such dry skin, that it like calcified into the thing. And so ultimately what they ask for from Namor is they ask for Johnny
asked not to turn into flame when the word fire is said.
Right. The thing asks for moisturizer, which is
a year's worth of moisturizer.
And then I love that Reed, for whatever reason, he's supposed to be a smart one. I guess here he's not. He asks for like a duck dinner or something and then realizes he shouldn't have said that. So the next panel, you see him as still like a puddle of a person, but he's holding a plate with food on it and says, aw, nuts.
Because he sees a duck. This is, I'm, if anyone's listening to this and confused, I don't blame you. Because he, they see a duck, which is actually Namor's or Captain Nomor's headquarters. And that makes Reed in the mood to eat duck.
Yeah, the rubber duck floating around, which is also strange because that has nothing to do with Oz, the Wizard of Oz. Unless some of these are book references, but I don't think so.
And right away, I was reminded of the penguin in Batman Returns because he rides around in that big duck.
No, this is like 7 years later, 6 years later. So I don't know why that would be a reference, unless this was an old script sitting around for like a What the parody that they brought in. Because it's also, it's definitely not a what if. The inclusion of Uatu as Uartu is about the only thing that makes it a what if, because even the setup, it's a cute setup, I have to say. The idea that as they're getting their power, she hits her head, she imagines this whole world. And then I like that at the end, again, as I mentioned in the summary, when she comes to and Johnny says, well, we all got powers. We absorb some kind of radiation. And he says, flame on. And then she screams, no, like she feels trapped in this world. Mm-hmm. So that's a cute setup, but there's no what if question in that.
No, not at all.
I guess it's what if Sue, I don't know. What if Sue went to Oz? I don't know.
Well, the other thing I think that where it missed an opportunity is to have more direct correlations to the Oz characters with these other three. So Reed actually works pretty well because Reed, or he's called Wreck here, which I guess is a play on Reed. It's weird though, but I don't know.
Well, because she says, she says you're a total wreck. And he says, that's my name, Wreck.
Yeah.
Don't wear it out. Which is very '90s.
He is falling. He can't put himself together. He's just this blob and he's very dumb. So right away, those are two great correlations with the Scarecrow, because the Scarecrow is always losing his straw and falling down and the Scarecrow is looking for a brain. And then it ties in nicely with both Reed's powers and the fact that Reed is super smart in our normal universe. So I saw that. It was like, okay, this is great. But then Johnny, we don't see, or his name is Jolly here. You don't get that he needs a heart element, which I could see because in the Fantastic Four world, Johnny is the heartbreaker. He's the one who's always lusting after.
You're taking this way too seriously.
But they don't do that there. And then I think with the thing, or he's called Thang, which is actually kind of funny, but the Cowardly Lion is cowardly. He's afraid. And Ben is always brave. And even here, Ben is the brave one. So I thought there was a real missed opportunity. Why not have Ben be afraid the entire time, which is both the opposite of how he is in the Fantastic Four world and in line with the Cowardly Lion. So
there was part of me that wondered if they, because the title of the story, there's no place like that place where you sleep and keep all your stuff. I was like, okay, is there a rights issue they were worried about? But what's so strange, if that's the case, is that, and I doubt it's the case, because the cover of the issue, which the cover is always the thing that has, you know, the least amount of risk taking around rights issues. Sometimes inside you'll see, you know, Superman's foot drawn on a panel or Clark in the background or something like that. But the cover says, plus, what if the Fantastic Four went to the land of Oz and is even using like an Aussie font?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's strange. It would be strange if the story was somehow being constrained by a fear of copyright, and yet they put that right on the cover. So I don't know. I don't get it, but I think there's not much to get.
And wouldn't it make more sense for Oz not to be Namor or Captain Nomor?
But well, no, have he's, us... but hold on. His name, I do like the play on the name, even though it has nothing to do with the Wizard of Oz. It's Captain No More Than Me. So yes. What, I like that it's cute because it's like Captain like Namor-ish and shows how pompous he is. But yes,
that is cute. But I think it would make a lot more sense for Uatu to be Oz because sees everything. In the classic Wizard of Oz movie, you see the giant floating baldish head, which is perfect for Uatu. So that also seemed like another...
Well, and they could have had Namor be Glinda, because ultimately the fact that it's Namor is irrelevant. So
and he could on his little heel
wings,
which could have perfectly kind of played into it. Yeah.
Well, I will say that my highlight of the issue, though, is definitely instead of lions and tigers and bears, we have mole men and yes. mutants and Skrulls. I mean, that is like dying to be a parody song is Mole Men and Mutants and Skrulls. Oh my. Mole Men and Mutants and Skrulls. Oh my. I really liked that.
Totally. And I think it could have really maybe never been great, but it could have been better if there had been more of that in there. If we had seen the trees that throw the apples, or like you mentioned, the flying monkeys, which are super iconic. So if they had a little bit more of that throughout, I think it could have worked.
Well, it does have the meta fourth wall breaking joke of with Dr. Doom that there that not in this story, the artist forgot to draw page 6 and we don't have enough pages for me to come back or whatever, but one day I'll get you. And so it is funny then that Dr. Doom, Dr. Vavavavoom never comes back, but obviously it's meant to be a quick, silly story, though it is 10 pages long. So I'm not even going to ask, do we want to go back here? It's never been revisited. It's hard to find. Most of What If Volume 2 is actually very hard to find. It's not available digitally. It's not even available for purchase digitally, let alone on Marvel Unlimited. What If Volume 2 has not really been collected. Some of the key issues, they did some collections of like all X-Men alternate tales and stuff, but they haven't yet collected it. So it's hard to find, but we don't need to go back. So let's jump to our last issue.
Yes. So we'll click our heels together and travel into the future.
There's no place like the 616.
Yeah, exactly.
The future you describe be averted, averted, averted.
So today's final issue is Fantastic Four Volume 6, issue number 18. And this is entitled World Breakers from March 2020.
So this is written by Dan Slott, penciled by Paco Medina, Francisco Mana, Carlos Magno, inked by those three, colored by Eric Arciniega, lettered by Travis Lanham, and edited by Tom Brevoort, Alana Smith, Shannon Andrews, Ballesteros. So this, you actually found this issue for us to read because we were, so transparency, we should have said this at the beginning, I think. We were looking for a short issue. We were looking for something quick to do for a few reasons that we needed something a little faster and more contained. So you found these Oz references in Fantastic Four. And so this issue has another Oz reference. It's in the middle of a large, significant story in Dan Slott's run, which only started, or his return to the series, which only started a few years ago, 2 years ago or so. And so this is in the middle of one of the big stories that he's doing. And in it, the reason we read it is there is Overlord, and Overlord is projecting himself and is this very omnipotent Oz-like character. And Johnny at some point says, "That's right, big guy, you're great and powerful Oz over there. He's the one who bombarded me and my friends with cosmic rays." So that's why we read it, and that's it.
Yes, and a shout out to Grace Wright as well. She published a piece in Screen Rant highlighting some of the connections between this issue and The Wizard of Oz. So that was definitely an inspiration for this.
Well, and again, you do get the sense, I mean, this is a little more explicit, right? He is protecting himself in the green color of Oz. And so the reference does feel a little more on the nose here, like Slott knows what he's doing. You also do have this other world, and they are sort of messing it up. And so it feels like his, even though it's just the one line that we chose this issue for, it does feel like Slott's probably aware of the larger connections to the Oz story in this issue and in his run overall. I'd say, I just think that's, you know, Dan Slott has that sort of lighter, cartoonier tone while telling really deep mythos sci-fi stories. So
I think, yeah, there's another moment here that stood out as Oz-like to me when Ben and some of these other creatures show up at the Oz, the Overseer's headquarters, and there's this big gate, and reminded me of the classic Who Rang That Bell sequence in the Wizard of Oz movie. There's not a guard or that figure that comes out, but they do sign into the gate and come into the city. And then when we actually see the Overseer, he definitely has an Oz-like feel in his giant chamber with his big device over him. So I was definitely thinking that Dan Slott and the artists here were tying in much more directly with the Wizard of Oz than even just that one passing reference, and certainly more than the previous Fantastic Four issue that we touched upon.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so do you think the What If inspired this? No, let's just say no, for sure. I think what I think is true is that the What If was inspired by the potential Fantastic Four story connections to Oz that are sort of woven into its DNA. Yes. So is there a connection here? Yes, I think it's the connection that there might be something about the Fantastic Four that is very Oz-like, but I certainly do not think that Oz parody backup What If that we read inspired anything.
And I think Oz is so much, and this is why it's been taken up by queer culture too, it's so much about choosing your chosen family, and that while the Fantastic Four is Marvel's first family, and while some of them actually are related by blood or marriage, they are also a chosen family as well, as is Dorothy and her companions in Oz. So to me, that is an overarching connection between all of these.
Agreed.
And each week we play a game of Would You Rather, placing ourselves in the Marvel Universe. And I have a would you rather question for you, but it's not the Marvel Universe. It's the Wizard of Oz universe.
It's the Oz universe.
We've also established that we know that one probably better than at least the Fantastic Four's world.
I'll have to go through the Earth Index and see if the Oz. Well, what's interesting, what I will say before you get to your would you rather real quick, one final serious thought, semi-serious thought is it's always interesting when there are pop culture references in the 616 because it means that that thing exists. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we do have these two 616 issues that we read around the What If referencing Oz means that the Wizard of Oz exists in the 616. So that's kind of fun to know.
I think I've seen someone say that if they had to choose one movie that the most people, at least in the United States, have ever seen in their life, The Wizard of Oz is probably number one. There's probably the most seen movie. So if you're going to be choosing a pop culture reference that everyone throughout different generations and whatnot can associate with, I think The Wizard of Oz is a pretty strong bet.
All right. So what's your would you rather in the Oz universe?
So if you were Dorothy, would you want to go back to Kansas or would you want to stay in Oz? Would you rather go back to Kansas or stay in Oz?
I don't know anything about her life in Kansas other than that it was on a farm.
Yeah. So and we can assume her parents are dead because she lives with her aunt and uncle who are much older. It's like a Peter Parker situation. They're not even her they're not even young, right? They're probably like her parents, aunt and uncle.
I'm going to have to go with Oz, obviously. I think I imagine everyone would say Oz. I mean, the reason I think that Oz is people have such a connection to it, knowing so little about it outside of the movie, but like people who are fans of the books and stuff, is the really fun world of Oz. Even in the movie, you know, the cut sequence of the jitterbug, the poppy field, the flying monkeys, like it's just kooky and that's fun. And that is the Fantastic Four connection too. So I'd rather live in Oz if I had to choose that. The better choice would be 616 or Oz. And that's a tougher choice. I'm going to go with the 616, but all right, that's go ahead true. And answer both questions. Ooh, so Kansas or Oz, and then Oz or 616.
I would definitely say Oz, because for one thing, they have defeated the bad guy there. While back in Kansas, we can imagine Miss Gulch, the Wicked Witch stand-in, is still alive and wants to put Toto to sleep and comes very close to killing Toto. They probably wouldn't have even put him to sleep in 1939. They probably would have like shot him around the barn. So Toto's much safer in Oz. That's for sure. And in terms of the 616 versus Oz, I don't know. I think I'm still going to go with Oz. Things seem to be much more balanced there. There's a lot less drama than...
Well, except when you watch like Return to Oz and that woman with her different heads, that evil woman, true. And all those creepy things. It's like, there's the dark underbelly that is missing from the MGM movie.
Well, that whole movie where Dorothy gets electroshock therapy and... I'm surprised that never took off. Well, dear watchers, thank you for journeying over the rainbow with us today.
Yes, and joining us on something very different.
Yes. And the reading list is going to be in the show notes. And probably more importantly, we'll be sharing some panel images on our Twitter @DearWatchers.
Better than this reading list, just watch The Wizard of Oz, I'd say.
Yes, that's true. It's the holiday season when we're recording this. It's often associated with the holidays, you know, snuzzle up on the couch and with Dorothy and friends. And please, of course, leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll be donning our ruby slippers and back with you for another trip through the multi-Ozverse in the near future.
And in the words of Uatu, the looker, I mean Uatu, the watcher, keep pondering the possibilities.